Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
This is Justin from Australia. I love three things: knives, bitches, and the DJ New Style Show.
Yeah, it's the national underground thunder bounce, and I stop the ground like a million elephants, a silverback orangutan. You can't stop a train. Who wants up? Don't come unprepared. I'll leave there, but when I leave there, better be a household name. Brother man telling us it ain't gonna rain. So now we sitting in a drop top soaking wet, in a silk suit trying not to sweat. Hit summer sauce without the net, but this be the year that we won't forget. 1999. And I'm ready, anything goes. Be what you wanna be. Don't get you no consequences for giving, for living the fences. Too hot to jump in jail. Too low to dig. I might just touch hell. Hot, get a life, now they gon' sell. Then I might catch you a spell. Look at what came in the mail. I'm scaling some Arm and Hammer. So go grilling a baby mama. Black hair lacking a pack of pebbles. Pack of questions with no answers. Cure for cancer, cure for AIDS. Make a nigga wanna stay on tour for days. Get back home, things are wrong. When not really, it was bad all along. Before you left, ass up to a ball of power. Thoughts at 1,000 miles per hour. Hello, ghetto, let your brain breathe. Believe there's always more.
Like that, there, boy, we still stay street. Big things happen every time we meet. Like a track team, crack team, dying to geek. Outcasts bumping up and down the street. Slam back, Cadillac, by five niggas, 75 MCs, freestyle to the beat. Cause we get crossed, stay drunk at the club. Should've bought an ounce, but you caught the dub. Should've held back, but you told the punch. Supposed to meet your girl, but you packed the lunch. No D to the U to the G for you. Got a son on the way by the name of Bamboo. Got a little baby girl, 4 year Jordan. Never turn my back on my kids for them. Should've hit it, rag top. Before you re-up, get a laptop. Make a bid for yourself, boy, set some goals. Make a fat dime out of dust and coal. Record number 4, but we on the road. Hold up, slow up, stop, control like Janet. Planet, stake on it, it's only a moving like floor, come straight to Florida. Lock all your windows in, block the quarters. Put it up on bail, cause the women's in order. Like a 3-piece bitch, before I cut your daughter. Your pedal talk on bail, then I hit the border. Pity pat rapper trying to get the vibe. On my microphone beam, trying to stay alive. When you come to ATL, boy, you bet not high. Cause the Dungeon Family gon' ride.
It's a trip. It's got a funky beat, and I can bug out to it.
The newest in
New Style Show.
Right up to your face and diss you.
Coming to you live from New Jersey. Safely isolated from Patterson, Irvington, Camden, and Newark. We proudly bring to you the DJ New Style Show.
This talk is not good.
The homo didn't touch it.
Are you guys having a killer time?
Oh, yes.
Sweet. No. No. No.
Hey, Donna! Did you start the coffee yet?
Oh, snap! Yes, welcome, one and all, to your Tuesday Night Miracle. That's right, exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. It's the DJ New Style Show. Warming it up tonight on the strings and drums and the vocals, little band from Germany. Who are they? Rammstein! Yes. Yes. Rock Germans. Okay. It's enough rock. It's enough rock. What's going on, everybody out there in internet radio land? It's your Tuesday Night Miracle, the DJ New Style Show. Thank you for tuning in once again. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening live. Thank you for going to hear us talk week in, week out, or for the first week, or for the last time. I am your host, DJ New Style. You can call me Ken. Also with me tonight is a bald man who lives in a basement. What's your name?
Hey, what's up?
His name is Hey, What's Up? And he's great at following directions and taking cues. What's going on, Frank? How are you?
Hey, what's up? How's everything? How's your, how are
you? Wow, really energetic. Okay, there it is. There's the false enthusiasm that I can expect from you.
That's totally fake. That's totally fake, what I just did just now.
Well, why did you do it?
Well, I felt like I was under pressure to show some enthusiasm.
Well, you are. That's why you do a show. See, performers are generally under pressure to entertain.
Oh.
And enthusiasm is pretty entertaining.
But listen, I'm not going to fake it. All right.
You know what? Don't fake it. Don't fake the phone.
I'm a real person.
Just do it. Just be you. Frank, you do you. I'll do me. And everybody else can either sit there or just fucking leave. That's what I say. Just me and you, Frank. It'll just be me and you. What's going on? I can only assume that you're out of gas after the long 3-day weekend, Memorial Day. It's basically the unofficial start of summer. I can say that I had a good weekend. I had a pretty good, fun, classical Memorial Day weekend. Nice 3 days off. But you're self-employed, though, right, Frank?
Yes.
You have your own, but you're an entrepreneur.
Yes.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter for you, 3 days off.
Doesn't matter.
It's no different.
Makes no difference.
No change of scenery. You're not getting Nothing. Over on anybody. You're getting over on yourself, actually.
That's it. I'm doing it to myself. I'm getting one over on myself, like you said.
You can't possibly know how good it feels to have a 3-day weekend mandated by a federal holiday when you are self-employed.
Now, what does that mean exactly, mandated by federal holiday?
It's a federal holiday, Memorial Day. We get off of work.
Right, but people are working.
That's true. You can choose to work if you want. You know how much it sucks, though, to work on there? By the way, I want to just relate to you. When I'm working in the office, I know that I'm reporting to a boss. I have managers. There's a whole hierarchy ahead of me. And when I'm out of this environment, I'm kind of getting over on them. There's work that's not getting done. Would they prefer that I'm doing it? Yes, but they can't make me, and that's the beauty of it. You are your own boss, therefore you'd be fucking yourself, and it sucks. But there are people that do work on Memorial Day. There's the people that work retail, the people that work at a Home Depot or something like that. Me and Amanda. Now, Amanda's my girlfriend, just to cut you off. See, I got you that time. You can't get me back. My girlfriend Amanda, we went to the bagel place that we usually go, and what happens is, we get there, and I know it's a holiday, so I know they're closing early, and I know they're going to be running a short on staff. They're going to have a couple people there, and the bagels are going to be slim pickings. We get there, the fucking bagel lady's frantic out of her mind. Oh, somebody just bought 3 dozen bagels! Like, it's the worst thing ever. She's the owner of the company, and she's complaining that she's doing business. It's just the nature of having to work on a holiday, Frank. Did you do any work while you on Monday? Well,
yes, I did. Oh, I worked yesterday. Yes.
Now, why did you do that?
Because I took a Sunday off, and I usually work on Sunday.
You work on Sunday as well?
Yes.
So you work 6 days a week?
Yes.
God.
But you got to realize.
And here I am thinking that we were a Caucasian show. So what do I have to realize?
You have to realize that I don't necessarily. Work. I mean, I may take a break, you know, like a siesta or something during the day, and then go back at night until about 4 a.m. and then start all over again. So I don't have really set hours.
Well, that's true. You know how people say, like, when you diet, the best thing to do is to graze, to like eat little morsels every now and then.
Well, but don't cows graze?
That's true. But the thing about it, Frank, that's how you work. You take little segments of tasks and you work on them. And then maybe you film yourself for 30 minutes sleeping. And then maybe you go play Facebook games. Maybe you go take a nap. Maybe you go eat a snack. Your workday strung out through the whole entire day. It's the worst. It's the absolute worst, Frank. But it was Memorial Day. Did you at least get a little bit of the classical Memorial Day festivities in? Did you do any of that?
Well, we had a little BBQ on Saturday. You know, just the immediate, just my wife and kids.
But and you did the barbecue thing.
Yeah. You know,
it's actually a fun thing. It kicks off the summer. I like a barbecue, but there's a lot of things. There's a lot of opportunity to be let down. You know what I mean, Frank?
Let down. How can you be let down on a barbecue? A barbecue is fantastic. nice charbroil burgers.
Yeah.
Nice, delicious charbroil hot dogs.
Sure. Yeah, the burgers. That's great. There's no avenue to be let down there, is there? They can't give you a fucking raw burger, can they? They can't give you a hockey puck, can they? No, never. They'll never fuck that up. But and you know what?
I prefer hockey puck burgers.
You do? You
do? Yes, I like them so dry that you can't swallow them.
The thing about the barbecue that disappoints me is that more often than not, people will create platters of the burgers and hot dogs. So they'll cook batches of them and leave them on the table. Now, what do you think the most disappointing food is at a barbecue? Like
The most disappointing food is when they have pickles that are out of a jar. They don't have I prefer refrigerated cold pickles. I don't like the jar pickles, which are usually on a shelf in the grocery section and are warm.
Yeah, they're all warm. They're floating in that fucking green dyed brine.
I like a nice snap or crunch when I eat my pickle.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't want to eat a pickle and hear nothing.
I'm waiting for the double entendre. I'm just waiting for it to start. But yeah, it's true. When you get a flaccid pickle, it's probably the most disappointing thing you can imagine.
Right.
Warm pickle is the worst thing ever.
I like hard pickles that are, you know, easy to grab and they crunch when you bite them.
And when you put them in your mouth, they drip the juice right over your lips. Right.
I like when the pickle just is really hard and just drips off my chin, and then I'll lick it up off the table.
And I mean, are you the type of guy that'll every now and then just see how far you can put the pickle down your throat and pull it out?
Well, sometimes if the pickle's too big, I have to hold it with both hands.
It's true.
And then I'll like lick around it a little bit just to get the flavor, and then I'll just shove it in my mouth real hard.
I bet you're the type of guy. I mean, you have a little bit of a confidence issue. I mean, every now and then you probably, while eating a pickle, get upset with yourself and just slap it across your cheek, don't you? And call yourself bad. All right, enough of the goddamn pickle talk. But it is a disappointing thing. Also, what would be bad with the pickles is someone doesn't even put fucking effort out. They don't put it in a dish. They just put the fucking jar out there.
My sister-in-law is known for that. She'll take the fucking appetizing department. She'll take the fucking plastic bowl that it comes with the fucking label on it and just tosses it on the fucking table. Doesn't put it in a nice bowl. Doesn't put it in anything. Just puts it in the thing it was in and puts it on the table like an animal.
Yeah, it's the worst. You need to remove the original packaging. I mean, for the very reason that you know people are going to be fishing their fucking hands in it. I mean, nothing worse. And even pickles in a jar in your own refrigerator are a little bit gross. Nobody goes and gets a fork. Face it. You want a pickle, you're going to reach in there and fish around in the fucking seedy brine. Admit it, Frank. You've done that. Listen, much of a germaphobe as you are, of a germ freak, you have done that.
I've done it, but I do it when I make sure I do it when nobody's looking.
Yeah, it's true. What are some of the other classical?
Tell
foods,
me what your what
foods.
Salads you look forward to at a barbecue.
A barbecue.
A barbecue. Baby barbecue.
Oh my god! I mean, you are stumbling today. A little stumbly, but I do look forward to the array of salads that they have.
Do you put all your salads on the same plate?
You have to, Frank. You can't just go there and expect to have one salad, sample it, and go back. That line is so fucking mobbed.
Let me ask you a question. When you go to a buffet line, are you the
kind
of person...
When I go to a what?
A buffet line.
Like when I'm getting a concert ticket? What's a buffet line? I don't understand. Should I be wearing an inflatable shark? What the fuck are you talking about?
When you stand up waiting for your food. Oh, buffet.
Buffet?
A buffet.
Yeah.
Are you the kind of person who puts everything on a plate and then goes back? Or do you put a little bit on a plate, go back, take a little bit more?
No.
Do you put your salad on your plate with your main course? Do you go back later for your salad? Please describe.
I will take my plate and I'll cover every single little surface area on that. I treat the buffet line, not the buffet line, as if it were like people going to town in the 1800s. You get all you can. You don't know if you'll get another trip. So you get everything. Make a big pile of everything. Maximize your fucking your trip. Sample a little bit of everything. Go back and get your favorites. That's how you approach it, Frank.
I see.
That's the best way. I mean, what do you do? Am I wrong here? Am I out of line?
No, not at all. You're absolutely right. I want to make one trip. I don't usually like to go back. But you do go back
if there's something good.
Yeah, absolutely. I will go back. But getting back to your salad business.
Sure.
Don't you feel that sometimes the juices from the salad, especially if you have a vinegary salad, will soak up the bun in your hot dog?
That can happen. But what I do is I do a very good job of planning it. I plan it like a community. You get the driest portions and you build a wall so you can have your burger or hot dog in there. So it's the wetness absorbed is very minimal. I mean, you wouldn't know this to look at me as I'm making my plate. I'm a pro. I'm not going to meticulously sculpt. I can very quickly fashion a plate that will protect the bun on my hot dog or hamburger. I don't want the juices in my bun, but I need everything on the same plate.
But it wouldn't bother you if it got on your bun, is that correct?
It wouldn't bother me, but it's not ideal. I mean,
you have height limits.
No, I don't have height limits. I mean, I want to be able to carry it and have it not crumple and fall on my fucking shoes.
Now, do you place it on your lap?
If it depends on where you're sitting, Frank. I mean, I'll prefer a spot at the table, but I'm not going to knock elbows with somebody. I will not think twice about sitting in the corner, putting it on my lap, and eating from there. I have no qualms. I'm above the age of six or five, so I can handle a fork and bring it to my mouth and eat and not spill it on myself. Unlike you, who I know is you're a slob when you eat. We've all seen it. It's on frankandbarb.com. Just countless examples of you spilling all over yourself. Go there, check out the videos, do what you have to do. But back to disappointment with the barbecue, Frank. What would you say the most disappointing food item is? Is it the hamburger? Can you be disappointed most by the hamburger, do you think?
The only thing you could be disappointed is if there's no cheese.
Can I stop for a second? What is with this fucking pronunciation? Why are you dragging out the E's? What is with that?
That's how I was raised. That's how I talk. If you don't like it, then that's your problem.
You know what? It is my problem.
You'll accept me for the way I am.
I can't discriminate. So if there's no cheese, that's the only way you can be disappointed.
Let me be honest with you. My sister-in-law, and this is actually my brother's wife, is infamous in having barbecues with hamburgers and always not having cheese. I have to have cheese on my hamburger.
Yeah.
I mean, the combination of the beef and cheese.
I don't necessarily need it, but I want the option.
Right.
My sister does a good thing. My sister and my brother-in-law do a very good thing. They send the youngest child around to take fucking orders, and then they cook it, and you get what you want. You're not going up to the plate and not getting what you want. You go up to the person comes to you, what do you want? I want a hot dog, and I want a fucking hamburger.
That's great.
And you say that to the little kid. You say, I want a fucking hamburger. And listen, it's your ass. I don't get cheese. It's your ass. And then you eat your food and you enjoy yourself. But now the thing, Frank, the most disappointing food, and this is a little bit of a surprise, the hot dog. You can be the most disappointed by a hot dog, the easiest food to prepare. It lends itself to the most disappointment. Do you understand where I'm coming from with this, or do I need to explain it to you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Hot dogs.
I love hot dogs.
Hot dogs there's too many things you can do with a hot dog. You figure a hamburger, they throw some cheese on it, or they don't, and you get ketchup, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they have something on the side, a tomato, an onion, some lettuce. Maybe for a hamburger at a goddamn barbecue. Not required, though. You can have a thing of ketchup and a thing of mustard, and that's good for a hamburger. Hot dogs, people want fucking chopped onions, they want goddamn sauerkraut, relish, all this other shit. They want so much shit on a hot dog, and they refuse to eat it any other way. But that's before they've already ordered the fucking hot dog. They say, oh, I want a hot dog. Oh, but where's the sauerkraut? Disappointment, right there. Your chosen condiment schedule is not met, because the hosts have been inept. It's the worst.
Well, the problem with I think you're misunderstood. When you have a barbecue, when you have barbecued hot dogs, you don't usually have sauerkraut with the hot dog. You typically use sauerkraut in a hot dog when it's boiled.
No, you always use. No, you're out of your mind.
Grilled hot dogs do not constitute the use of sauerkraut. Sauerkraut is only to be utilized when hot dogs are boiled.
Yeah, say that at one of my fucking family barbecues. You'll be killed. People will murder you. If you ever invited anybody in my family to your house for a barbecue, offered grilled hot dogs, and you said no sauerkraut, you'd probably come away missing an arm.
Have you ever been the griller?
Yeah, but the thing is, I don't like it. I can do hot dogs, I can do hamburgers and chicken, but you know, I don't want to be tied to that grill. So frequently what we'll do is we'll make sure that my brother-in-law, TJ, he's probably listening right now, we'll make sure he's there, because he likes to let off that he likes to grill. I don't think he does, but since he's made the mistake of making it known that he likes to grill, he's always the grill guy. So we're like, oh, TJ likes the grill. Come on, TJ, let's go. So, oh, yeah, I'll do it, whatever. It doesn't matter. So now he's working the grill, and I'm over enjoying myself at our own barbecue. He comes over as a guest, and he does the fucking grill work. How fucking amazing is that? You have to score somebody like that in your life. Get them over there and invite them every single time. Because then you can just live on Easy Street while they cook you food at your house. You see how that works?
I understand.
Yes. Now, another disappointing thing. Hot dogs, people are very, very finicky with how they're cooked. Now, I know that you're going to say, well, hamburgers, people want, I want it well done, I want it medium, blah, blah, blah. You're not going to really complain. I haven't heard too many complaints about a hamburger being under or overcooked as much as I've heard hot dogs. Oh, you got to fucking leave it on. I need to feel the crispiness. I need to bite this and have it snap. I need to feel the skin get crispy, blah, blah, blah. It's got to be split open. People are very particular with their fucking hot dogs.
I got to disagree with you on that.
Really?
I think people are more particular with the hamburger because a hamburger can kill you if it's undercooked. Hot dog is already – you can eat a hot dog out of the package.
Yeah, you know how gross that is?
It's like bologna.
It's like what?
Bologna.
Bologna? You know,
it's bologna. Bologna. Have you ever seen the spelling of it?
Yeah. I've never heard anybody in the history of my life say bologna.
It's the way it's said, my friend. If you look it up in the dictionary, you'll look at the pronunciation.
And we're getting word from our good friend Styx that you can eat hamburger raw and it won't bother you. I would probably say don't eat a lot of it. Don't go out on it with some kind of a mission to prove eating raw hamburgers from coast to coast just to say that you don't need to cook things. But it probably won't. I mean, if you get a good cut of meat, I wouldn't want to get a Mexican patty of ground beef. Or worse yet, those fucking Bubba Burgers. Have you had those?
Those ball burgers are those suck.
Yeah, those what?
The Bubba Burgers, they suck. They're more hype. They taste like rubber. I was very disappointed because that's what my wife made, and I didn't appreciate it. I prefer her homemade burgers when she utilizes them with her own hands.
Yeah, you know what? I kind of do too. And listen, I don't need handmade or hand-fashioned patties, okay? I don't need that. I want just beef. I know there's onions in it. It's supposed to be nice. Oh, there's onions and cheese. There's onions and jalapeno. Well, where is the fucking meat in this burger that I'm not supposed to let fucking defrost? Why?
Do you like barbecue sauce in your burger?
Barbecue? Yeah, sure. It's not that big of a deal. I'm not that particular. See, I'm not. I don't complain with burgers. I'll just eat it and shut up. I'm one of those people. But hot dogs, don't fucking get me started. I'm more apt to be disappointed by a bad hot dog. That's the worst thing. And the thing is, since people fucking prepare them in platters, they have like 15 hot dogs on, and they haven't employed my sister and brother-in-law's method of taking the order ahead of time, they now have these fucking hot dogs that shrivel up and look like little wrinkled fucking African dicks or little pieces of dog shit in a shriveled bun. They leave it there, and it's all fucking gross and hard and cold, and they're awful.
That's how I like them. I like them dried and shrivelly because they're nice and – like I said, I like my food dry, and I like them when they're nice and dry and shrivelly because you can just take them in your hand and eat them like a popsicle.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, there's a lot of people out here that have had Memorial Day picnics that have enjoyed the occasional barbecue. If you want to call the show and share some of your opinions, things that you hate, things that you enjoy, the number is 316-768-4472. That's 316-768-4472. It's the DJ New Style Show. We're talking about some backyard shit that irritates me, basically. Things that can lead me to disappointment. So if you invite me to a barbecue, I would not be caught doing any of these. The platter of hot dogs, decent idea if you're there, following the platter to the table from the grill. If you're 2 minutes late, you're eating the penis of a corpse, basically, is what it looks like. The worst. Absolute worst. And also, let's say you want a hot dog. Now someone gets the last one. You're like, oh, I'll have one too. It's like, sorry, we ran out of hot dogs. And now you have to sit there. Now you have to sit there and look at this motherfucker eat that hot dog in front of you. And do they finish it, Frank? They never finish it. Every time you are sitting there watching somebody eat the last hot dog, they fucking leave a little nub with the little bun and the condiments and all that. Just on the plate. And you have to look at this like, I would have eaten the whole fucking thing. I would have done better than you.
So you should take that little piece off of their plate and eat it.
It's all tainted. It's got my jealousy on it. Their saliva. It's not a good mix.
Jealousy.
And speaking of the last thing I'm going to say about hot dog disappointment. They don't run out of the hot dog. They run out of the fucking bun. Like, oh, yeah, I got a hot dog coming right up. Oh, okay, great. And then it's like, oh, we're out of buns. I mean, I have some slices of bread. I have a hamburger bun. It's just fucking miserable. Have you ever had to do this, Frank? You ever have to eat a hot dog?
Oh, listen. I remember as a kid, you know, your mother makes you a hot dog and there's no hot dog bun. So you got to take the hot dog and slice it in half and put it on a hamburger bun.
The worst.
And you bitch and complain about it as a kid. As an adult, I don't give a shit because it's all going into my stomach anyway.
Yeah, but it's part of the presentation, Frank. It's part of the goddamn
about presentation.
Yeah, well, 316-768-4472. We have a caller on the line. You're on the DJ New Style Show with Germ Freak. Who's this?
This is Steve the LARPer.
Steve the LARPer. God, it sounds
What's
so
up?
Clear.
Hey, Steven LARPer, how you doing?
I got my old mic.
Awesome. What's going on, buddy?
I know my old mic's better. Not much. I'm just listening to your conversation, and I honestly have to say, I have to agree with Germ Freak on a couple things.
Really?
Like, the one thing I do agree with is if you're serving hot dogs at a barbecue, the most you should ask for is ketchup and mustard. There's no sauerkraut. There's no onions.
You see,
those onions in a jar, like you get when you get like soubrette hot dogs.
Right, they're the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are the worst. But that's what you get. I mean, you came to my freaking barbecue. If you want to go home and make hot dogs your way, go right ahead. But, I think the condiments at a barbecue should be very limited. Like salt, pepper, ketchup, mustard, cheese. That's it.
That's it.
Cheese on a hot dog. Wow, you're a prince. Yeah. Thanks for taking a slice off a hamburger that could have been a cheeseburger, you fuck.
Yeah, I guess you never heard of a cheese dog.
You wasted the cheese on a fucking hot dog. You understand? Now somebody's gonna go without a cheeseburger. They're gonna have to eat a regular fucking hamburger because you couldn't decide that the cheese is burger only. That's what I'm saying. It's just ways you can be disappointed. Sure.
If that's the way you're doing your numbers, though, you're the guy that's running out of your hot dog. You should never run out of cheese, first of all. But the thing is, if you're running out of hot dogs, here's the thing. You said, oh, if you're running out of hot dogs, it's probably because blah, blah, blah. You should never, ever, ever run out of hot dogs at a freaking barbecue. Because a hot dog should be your last line of defense if you're still hungry and want to eat something. There should be way better stuff there than freaking
Absolutely.
Hot dogs.
Absolutely. But you know what it is? It's always burgers and hot dog. That's usually the main event. And some people will go nuts. They'll have ribs. Some people will have chicken pieces or whatever. Fucking shish kebabs or whatever. But like usually the mainstay, the hamburger and the hot dog. Thank you very much, Steve. So now I know never to go to one of your barbecues if I want sauerkraut. If I want to be treated like a human, like a gentleman. Don't
I'll turn
go
you right around when you walk into my house because I know you're coming for sauerkraut.
Well, thank you very much, Steve. I appreciate it. Thank you for calling. You're on the DJ New Style Show. Who's this?
Hey, what's up, Ken? This is Sticks.
Sticks, what's going on, buddy? How are you? You're on with Germ Freak.
What's up, Germ Freak?
Hey, how you doing, Sticks?
The worst has got to be the guy that brings his own food and he'll like bring a steak for himself in your hot dog, and you have to watch his mouth watering steak enter his mouth.
Oh my god! Yeah, yeah, that's true. They'll bring their own shit. They're like, oh, I brought this, and then they eat it. They make you cook it, and then they eat it.
Right. They have it in their special marinade and everything. And
yeah. And you see them walking up the driveway carrying a bowl. Like, oh, he brought something. How nice. He pulls out one fucking small steak. Oh my god! Do you have people like this that do this often?
Enough that I know to call about it. Yes.
Very good. Is it a close friend or a relative?
it's always like that guy you haven't seen for 5 years.
Yeah, he worked.
Exactly why.
He worked with your dad like in 1983, and he's been coming to every other Memorial Day since then. Yeah, that one guy. Thank you for calling the show, Sticks. I appreciate it. Again, if you want to call the show, it's 316-768-4472. We're talking right now about disappointment in the backyard barbecue. And I said hot dogs, the most disappointing thing, the most offsetting, off-putting thing. But Frank, I want to just say, what do you think about corn?
Are you talking about corn on the cob?
Yeah, of course. I mean, when I'm talking about barbecues, I'm talking about corn. You better not open up a fucking can and dump it into a bowl. Microwave it for 5 minutes and then call that corn. You need corn on the cob. If you're going to have corn at all, corn on the cob.
I love corn on a cob. I love it. I love putting my little sticks on the end of it in order to eat it properly. And I butter it and put salt on it.
You butter it?
Yeah, I butter it, yeah.
Okay. How do you butter it? What's your method for buttering
it? Same way everybody else butters it.
Let's hear. Go ahead.
Just take the stick of butter, put it in the palm of your hand, and just
oh my God.
Rub it all along the corn on a cob. What's the problem?
And this is why sometimes I have to believe the people who think you're a fake might be right. You grab the fucking stick of butter and wipe it on your corn and then put it back in the goddamn dish?
I grab the stick of butter that's in my home and rub it along it.
And then, and then somebody comes over and they want a bagel the next day. And it's not in your family. They have to use that fucking stick of butter that has a fucking hairy Italian handprint on the top.
Listen, nobody's telling them to have a bagel. How else can you butter it? You gotta just jam that thing like fucking lipstick and just jam it all along and just up and down, up and down.
So
and then you put the salt on and you flicker on it.
I was so kind of disgusted by the buttering of corn. I don't butter my corn, and it's for two reasons. One, because it's bad for you, and it honestly, the corn tastes good without it.
Oh,
and the second is, Frank, listen to me, you son of a bitch. The second is, these people chew the fucking corn, put the fucking thing in their mouth, and I've seen people butter the fucking thing after they've chewed it. People are buttering the chewed off cob. Well, guess what? It happens. And now there's people like you that grip the goddamn stick of butter and wipe it on top. I'm not a germ freak. I just don't want to wipe somebody's fucking mouth stank on my cob of corn.
Now, when you eat corn on a cob and you have the butter on your face, your chin and it will smells a little bit. Your chin will smell. My chin will smell after I eat corn on a cob because it'll smell the butter and my saliva mixed together. It stinks.
How are you smelling your chin?
Because
are you asking someone to smell it for you?
How am I smelling my chin? Because my chin is underneath my nose, dumbass. So
has your chin ever smelled like anything else?
Oh, that's just awful.
Has it ever smelled like your own ass, you fuck? What I'm telling you, Frank, is there are other ways to butter your corn. I've done research now. I've come up with a few ways. I know the better ways to do it, but I wanted to see if maybe there's a way that I can accept. And I've decided to go through a little list here. And I'm gonna go from classy to trashy on the list. The first way, which would be a little bit classy, is to cook the ears in a pot of boiling water, and shortly before they're done, put the butter in the water. The butter floats to the top, and as you lift each ear out, it coats it as it's being cooked. So now the cook, who's already touching the food, is the only person to put the butter on the corn. That's the classiest way I could think of.
As simple as that is, I've never heard of that before.
Never.
Never. I will try that.
You should.
At least your wife will.
At least your wife will, because you don't cook.
No.
And you're useless. The next way would be, there's an old-fashioned utensil called a cob butterer, which is a regular utensil handle attached to a square that's larger than a pat of butter. You put the butter on that, and you can now use the tool to wipe a butter pat along the cob of corn. Now you have no contact with the corn, and hopefully you have no contact with the butter because you've taken a slice with a knife and not your teeth and just spit it onto the end of it like you probably would.
Right.
Yes. The next way, Frank, is to pour melted butter into a small dish and use a brush. Dip a brush in and paint the butter onto it. These are all very classy ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
Much better than gripping a stick of butter and wiping it along. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, listen, I'm not here to make a work of art. I'm here to eat some corn on a cob. Okay,
but you said I can't think of a better way. This is how everybody does it: to grip butter and wipe it on. That's honestly, fucking Neanderthals invented tools. You're sitting there just using your hands and fucking feet. You're holding the. You're sitting there naked in your kitchen, Indian style, with a cob of corn between both toes, fucking just rubbing a stick of butter all over it. You're fucking disgusting. What about this now? It's similar to the first one, but it's kind of. I think it's a little bit grosser. You fill a very tall jar, a jar tall enough for a cob of corn, about 3/4 of the way up with water. Then you pour melted butter on the top. Since oil floats on the top of water and butter is oil, you can dip the cob in there and have a coating of butter on the goddamn cob.
That's. I gotta try these.
But the thing is, it doesn't prevent somebody from dipping an already chewed cob.
Right. Absolutely.
The
not.
Others kind of do. The next one, kind of white trashy, I think, but it works. Is to take a slice of bread, butter it, and then just wipe it on the cob. Just kind of clean it up a little bit and wipe it on there, and then you can eat the bread, I guess, and then eat the corn. And okay, apparently. My mom uses a plastic Ziploc to smush butter all over her corn. I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't think so. That's what somebody sent me. Here's what you can do, Frank. This is probably the most disgusting of all of them. Next to, of course, you grabbing it with your fucking bear paw and wiping it on there. They suggest on this site, which was from howcast.com, the article, How to Butter Corn. Yes, they have an article, How to Butter Corn, that people can use the internet to access and read, which is just fucking blowing my mind. They say, take an empty deodorant stick, run it through the dishwasher, shove a stick of softened butter where the deodorant used to be, and chill it in the fridge so you can roll it onto your corn. That is the most ridiculous fucking thing ever, but honestly, it would be pretty good. It would work well, but it would be pretty fucking gross to see somebody that had a fucking Shure or Right Guard container buttering their fucking corn.
Especially if there's like still like armpit hair on it.
Oh, yeah. And you know there would be. It's not going to hit every little part of it.
Right.
And what are you going to do? Use the cap? I bet you people forget to wash the cap. And there's all that fucking residue on the inside. You ever look at the inside of a cap of deodorant?
Absolutely.
It's one of the most unsanitary places on earth.
I'd like to talk to you about the deodorant, but let me just interject for a second.
Sure.
We're getting from Dan in NorCal. He's saying barbecue the corn, spread the butter on right when you take it off. Do not boil it. That's another method.
That's true. Open up the corn husks and put the butter inside as you grill it.
But you mentioned deodorant.
Yeah, I did.
How do you buy your deodorant? Do you have you been utilizing the same brand of deodorant for most of your life?
No, because my body is, and I'm pretty sure it's everybody else. I think you change your chemistry changes, so like every few years you need to change it up. You can't use the same deodorant, otherwise just you'll fucking smell even though you're deodorized.
So what brand? I mean, when you started out, what did you use? Do you remember?
I think I used Right Guard.
And what do you use now? Tussie?
What?
Tussie deodorant.
What's Tussie? I don't even know what Tussie is.
It's Tussie deodorant, T-U-S-S-Y, Tussie.
You know, I don't even know what I'm trying to see if I have it in here. I have it in the
bathroom. What I'm saying is,
I don't know what it is.
When you buy the deodorant at the store, do you take the cap off and smell each one?
Yeah. It's got that little protective thing, though. That little protective thing on top. You can just open it and sniff it. Is that bad?
No, I didn't know. I mean, I went to a store one time and I was asked to leave the aisle because I kept opening them all up and smelling them.
You got kicked out of the deodorant aisle for sniffing them?
Well, the guy said to me, "You got to stop doing that." And I said, "Well, I got to make sure I'm using the right one." You know?
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't
but
know
now that. I use aerosol, so it doesn't. I just spray the aerosol a little bit.
You prefer the aerosol now to the gel or the stick? I need the stick. I have some.
There's nothing worse.
Here's something, Frank. I have some very hairy armpits.
Oh,
so
for Christ's
sake. I need
sake.
To get it in there. So I need some kind of a fucking a gel deodorant stick so I can just get it to the surface.
Have you ever trimmed your pits?
Never. Never.
Why don't you?
Can you imagine how itchy that would be?
No,
it would just drive you. Drive you insane.
How do you feel about the men who put the deodorant on before they put their shirt on, and then they put their fucking shirt on, and they have fucking white marks all underneath their fucking arms?
Wait a minute. You're saying how do I feel about people that put deodorant on before they put their shirt on?
Yes.
How else are you gonna do it? Over the shirt?
You put it on after you put your shirt on.
Where are you putting the deodorant on? Underneath? You're going underneath like this and doing
it? Of course. Are you an asshole? You put your deodorant on before you put your shirt on, you dumb fuck.
Of course. You're supposed to put it on and let it dry.
You put it on afterwards.
I can't believe you're 40 years old. Granted, I didn't always do this. I used to do it under the shirt. But you know what happened?
You have to do it under the shirt.
How many white shirts? Do you use white shirts underneath?
I don't... Ken, unlike you, I'm not a child. I don't wear t-shirts like you do. You're the only grown man who wears fucking t-shirts.
I'm not, because they sell adult sizes. So if they're marketing this to me, then I must be the greatest man alive for them to come out with fucking t-shirts in adult sizes. I don't understand. What's your logic here?
I get the aerosol can, I stick it underneath my pits, and I spray it. Otherwise, you're going to get residue, and it's going to be very embarrassing, especially when you have like a white powdery stick.
Okay, so you're worried about getting residue on your shirt, right?
Yes.
So you're putting the deodorant under your shirt.
Yes.
And spraying it.
Yes.
And you're saying you have perfect aim every time, you never hit the shirt with the deodorant.
Yeah. Fuck, you don't need to be a rocket scientist.
And the thing is, Frank, you're putting it on wet. What are you going to do? You going to stand with your arms like this? Your arms straight out so they can dry. You have to let the deodorant dry. That's why you put the deodorant on, you go and do something else, you brush your teeth, you do something else, let it dry, then you put your shirt on so it doesn't fucking stain your shirt. So you don't have fucking yellow, disgusting, chunky pits that permanently smell like your deodorant.
Listen to me.
But you're just lifting up, spraying wet, and going like this, probably mashing it into the cloth.
There's nothing more. There's no better rush. There's no better rush than getting that cool aerosol underneath your pits in the morning. It's a wonderful rush.
To me, the aerosol doesn't work. It just leaves everything wet.
Oh, I enjoy it. I use Degree.
Oh, Degree? With the aluminum in it? So you can get cancer or Downs. I don't know. What do you get? You get the Downs or fucking early senility?
I use Degree, and sometimes I rotate between the Powder Fresh and the Sport Fresh.
Are we really talking about deodorant scents?
Whatever.
I use Ocean Mist, and I've determined that it actually makes me feel more productive on a workday. And you open this up by saying, how do I buy my deodorant? As if it's that big of a fucking decision. You just go and you look for something that isn't so expensive. There's deodorant that's like fucking $12 a piece. Why? Just get the fucking cheapest thing, use it. If it sucks, don't ever use it again. That's how you buy deodorant. I can't believe we're discussing that. Why don't we take a quick break? I don't know, Frank. Do you need a break, or are you good to go?
Yes, my mouth is dry.
Oh, I see. Why don't you take us out to break?
Next up, we have a break.
It's the DJ New Style Show on Heroes Talk. That's HeroesTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be.
The DJ New Style Show will be right back.
I love that clip, dude. That's why we might as well take our time.
Broadcasting live from Chicago! Yeah! Don't switch to hear Nick, because you're now listening to the DJ Arlovsky Show!
Andre Arlovsky!
Yeah! I feel very good, thank you. I'm ready to defend my
Who's next?
Title.
Andre Arlovsky
has a message.
You're my love, you're my sweetest thing.
Hello, this is the Andrei Arlovsky, and you are to listen to the DJ Arlovsky Show, which, let's face, is last bastion of place where you will hear Andrei Arlovsky on top of the billings. What I speak of is that fact that I have signed with Strikeforce for to do one pay-per-view. Now, I know, I don't fight Fedor, I don't get bloggings, I don't get interviews, no one is to do tweets about me, no one is to Tumblr, no one is to Facebook about Andrei Arlovsky, and I think it's somewhat bullshit, but I must move forward, or sideways or back, I just must move. Now, no disrespect to Cocksucker Afflictions or Dick Face UFC or Sexy Girl First Name Dana White, who, by the way, is not without hair by choice. I will fight on the pay-per-view. My opponent is Brett Rogers. I know. Go ahead. Take a minute on the Wikipedia. Look for event. You'll see I'm not even on post. 3-4 summer ago, Andrei Arlovsky is the best. Andrei Arlovsky with the vampire teeth. Andrei Arlovsky is the pit bull. Now I'm not even on poster. I have been outbilled by a man named Robbie Lawler. My career is for the shits. However, fat black man with mohawk, Brett Rogers, know that as you listen now, with the little Deborah cookie cakes inside of your cheeks and the orange Cheeto dust on your lap, you have already been beaten by a person who used to be great and is now a piece of shit that is no longer as good as Robbie Lawler, who is piece of shit cockface who used to be on WEC. I was on UFC, he was on WEC, and he is for the shits, and now I am for the shits. But you will be beat, fat black man with mohawk. So, everybody, all the Andrei Arlovsky fans, please to watch me on the pay-per-view with probably zero billing, purchasing, visibility, or brand recognition, as they pay me to bruise fat men if they air it after the main event. This has been the DJ Arlovsky Show.
Check out the preview.
The DJ New Style Show.
I'm DJ New Style, but let's stop for a second. Just call me Ken. We're gonna be friends here, okay? Online e-pals. We'll do what online friends do. We'll post messages to each other. We'll create threads together. Post images. Play games. I mean, where else could we do that? Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, Tumblr? No, none of those places. We'll do it on a message board on HeroesTalk.com. Create your little account, make your little name, and meet me there. All you have to do is go to RadioBronzeFans.com. I'll see you there. Thank you.
The DJ New Style Show.
And now, DJ New Style discovers
Auto-Tune.
Yeah. New shit.
Jump freak. Your grandfather had an Easter basket on his dick. He is a freak. The weirdest part is your grandma told your whole family that Grandpappy had a basket on his dick. But did you sniff it when you found it that day in the basement? Did you sniff the handle? Yeah, you know you did, cause you sniffed the handle where he kept his manhandle, balancing it. It was your basket, admit that shit. It had your chocolate all inside of it. So jump freak, don't try to front yo. Do not try to, don't try to front your granddaddy. Treated the basket like a stretched out wicker cunt. Your granddaddy treated a basket like a stretched out wicker cone. Shove your cock inside and let it drape, let it drape, let it hang, let it swing. Granddaddy hung a basket from his wrecked old man dick. Yeah, yeah, that's all of it.
Alright, welcome back to the DJ New Style Show, exclusively on Heroes Talk. That's HeroesTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be. Thank you for tuning in. Go to DJNewStyleShow.com, download everything we've ever done, every episode, subscribe to our podcast, automatically download things. It's beautiful. Isn't it, Frank?
It's one of the best things in the world to do.
Yeah, it is. I professionally faded that out. I just want to point that out to everybody out there right now. So you had a barbecue, Frank. We had barbecues. Big fucking deal. Right? You know, is it that big of a deal?
It's not. Everybody does it. It's not a big deal.
I mean, I wish I had a way that I could maybe celebrate a Memorial Day holiday a little different. Maybe something that you don't normally do. Did you do anything irregular? I know you told me, Frank, but I'm setting it up the best I can.
We took the family on Sunday to the world-famous Bronx Zoo.
The world famous Bronx Zoo.
Yes.
Awesome.
Located in the Bronx, New York.
So you went to the Bronx Zoo with your kids. You drove all that way from God knows where you live.
It wasn't that far.
Okay, let's just say he doesn't live far from the Bronx. Did you by any chance stop with to meet up with Ed at that lovely burger place?
No, I did not go to Piper's Kilt or whatever the hell it was. Total ridiculous waste of fucking energy to go there.
So you did go to the Bronx Zoo?
Yeah.
You had a good time, obviously.
I had a good time with my family. I was very, very, very disappointed in the place itself. First you get there, not only do you have to buy tickets and pay for the tickets, but you got to pay for parking.
You pay for admission and you have to pay for parking as well.
Parking.
Big fucking deal, Frank. Who cares? You have to do that everywhere you go. You pay admission and you park.
Okay.
Is that a complaint, really?
But then to see almost everything there that was more than just a fucking goat, you had to pay more money on top of that.
Oh, okay. So every fucking, exhibit?
Yes.
They have, a place you have to buy a ticket to see fucking exhibits at a zoo you already paid to get into?
You got it. Exactly right. So if you wanted to see something really, really cool, they had this room where you go in and there's a bunch of butterflies floating around and whatnot.
Sounds
you got to pay extra for that.
Okay, well, I mean, I've seen that before. I've been to zoos where they have special things like the dolphins or whatever you have to go pay to see, or the butterfly, whatever the fuck that is. It's specialized things, but I mean, you did a couple of those, right? There's a lot of other stuff to do usually at zoos.
Yeah, we did that. We went to the Congo. We went to we took a monorail ride. Costs a little more money. So
yeah. So you went to the Congo?
Well, that's where they had the gorillas. Let me tell you about the Bronx Zoo. I was very disappointed. Okay.
What?
You know, it's a huge. It's like a. I think it's a 40-acre zoo.
Uh huh.
But there's not enough animals at the Bronx Zoo. What I mean by that is, it's too sparsely populated. There's too much land and not enough animals. I like the zoos where the animals are all squished together in unnatural surroundings so that I could be entertained quicker. I don't want to have to walk 3/4 of a mile to see a fucking llama. You know what I'm saying?
So you don't want them to have the actual space that they need to live and be healthy.
Exactly.
You want them to have a 10x10 cell with 17 zebras in it.
Right. I don't want to see them in their fucking natural habitat. Just throw them in a cage and let me see them.
I'm not going on safari. I'm at a fucking zoo. I'm with you on this one, Frank. I want to see the animals be treated as poorly as possible. Out of your mind. You're out of your mind.
They had giraffes. Really, no, seriously. And they have not more than one or two of each animal. Like, they had one fucking bear, one fucking polar bear. They had one or two giraffes, and the giraffes are like literally, you know, half a mile away. You can't see them. It was very, very disappointing. Listen, I like spending time with my family, but the zoo itself, total disappointment. Would not go back. Like I said, I prefer to have animals that are confined in illegal situations where they're, you know, I could just see them up close and personal.
So, I mean, was it busy? Were there a lot of people there?
There was a, I guess so. You know, there was a lot of people there. But listen.
I'm listening.
We saw this. There was the best part of the zoo was we went to the Congo. We saw these gorillas, who I kind of fell in love with. These gorilla was adorable. He had very long. His nipples were very long. They're very spirally nipples, he was bending forward, heaving into his hand. And then eating his regurgitation.
Oh my god! Down. So I saw the videos. You had him on one of these sites.
I'll put them on your our
yeah. We're gonna put them on Heroes Talk. They're videos you have of a gorilla, like, you know, smiling, sticking his tongue out, and then all of a sudden he swoops down at the waist, so his head is at his feet, comes back up, yaks into his hand. Shows it to everybody, like holds it near people, and then starts eating it. And it was this orange fucking paste. It looked as though like somebody blended a tomato and a pumpkin together on the puree setting. So it was a little bit chunky. And he just starts eating it. And he's getting it all over his fucking cheeks. And after he's done eating it, he pukes it into his hand again and starts eating it again. Over and over again.
You see him like taking his tongue and like swirling it around his mouth like humans do, like getting every piece of food that's stuck in his gums and everything and looking to the side. I could have watched them all day. I really could have. It was very, very entertaining. And that was the best part. That itself was worth it, but everything else was a fucking bore fest.
Do you ever see I personally think the ape house, the monkeys and gorillas and all that shit, I think that's the best part of any zoo. The thing is, because they have this look about them where they're personified a little bit. You can almost see human expressions and mannerisms
exactly.
And stuff. And then you see somebody that has the same body shape standing through the glass and looking at them. Like, I'm not making fun of you, but I'm saying somebody that's fucking big and fat standing in the gorilla cage looking right through the glass, doing the same thing, scratching his ass while he's looking at the gorilla scratching his ass.
In the one video, you know, the gorilla, he's like I said, he's sticking his tongue, getting the food out of his mouth, and he looks to the side a little bit, and it's like you just think it's a human being. It's just very, very uncanny, the situation that you're in. But in a lot of these zoos, they have indoor exhibits where you walk through this dark indoor house. It's like a fucking tunnel almost.
Yeah, and they have like a movie playing or something.
Well, not only that, but yeah, they have like exhibits like behind, like they'll have like a snake or they'll have like cockroaches or mice or whatever behind this, like embedded in inside the wall, and you're looking through it. You're just walking through it, and it's very dark in there.
Yeah,
One of them was called the Mouse House, for example. You know, and you know, those things are okay, but I wanted to see. I was very disappointed. You know what's better? The friggin' safari at Great Adventure is 100 times better than this thing.
Really?
Yes. Have you ever gone to the Great Adventure Safari?
Yeah, we did. When I was a kid, we went in my dad's station wagon, which I later destroyed. I was sitting in the back, and I believe we brought water guns to shoot the animals in the face. And I was eating a bag of Doritos. When we got to the ostriches, I would eat the Doritos, and the thing would get like really alarmed and come near the car to see what I was eating. And I held up one of the Doritos to the glass, and the fucking ostrich looked at it and wanted to get it, and then boom, right against the fucking side of the car. And it went, woo!
That's cruel.
It shook back. It was all woozy. And all I had to do was hold it up again, and boom, right against the side of the car window.
They used to have...
They're so dumb.
They used to have a section where I think where there were baboons. And it was only up until very recently where they would... You'd walk, drive through the baboon section or whatever, and they would, you know, hop on your car and whatnot. Yeah. and it was really, you know, really fun.
Yeah, it was really fun until they tore the molding out of your car door, like they did to my sister's.
That's what they did to mine too.
You'd always be stuck behind somebody in one of those huge vans with the ladder on the back for whatever fucking reason, and these idiots are throwing fucking bananas on the roof.
Right.
The people are putting food on the top of their cars to get the apes on your car. And then all of a sudden they eat the banana, and then they're eating your antenna. They're eating your fucking your luggage rack or whatever.
Yeah, but what's fun is the giraffes will put their head down and come right to your window, and you can see their nice dark green tongue. It's stuff like that brings you closer to nature.
Yeah. It is stuff like that. Now you didn't have any like sort of freak out or anything like that. You said it was a pretty busy day at the zoo. So I'm assuming, and you had to pay, so you had to stand in line a bunch of times. Did you?
Yeah.
How did you handle this?
I don't use public restrooms, but in this situation, I had no choice. I was about to explode.
Excuse me?
I was about to explode. I had a Starbucks before I went there.
Are you saying that you use the public restroom?
I use the public bathroom. Maybe like once every 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 years, I use a public bathroom, especially. And the only type of public bathroom I'll utilize is in the restaurant there, you know?
And you used one.
I had no choice. I was going to fucking piss my pants.
I'm sorry, Frank. That's unacceptable. You actually... Oh, my God. Anytime I asked you, have you ever used the public restroom, it was like the most preposterous thing I could ever fucking suggest. But now you're using it because you rather than piss yourself...
Don't get me wrong. I was scoping out the entire area, and I was going to piss in a bush somewhere, but there's kidding cameras all over the place, and I was afraid that they would catch me. But I was
you should have just took all your clothes off and jump in the gorilla pit.
Oh, for Christ's sake!
Start puking in your own hand.
That's funny.
I'm sorry, that's funny. So okay, so you use the public toilet.
I was scoping the entire place out. I wanted to pee so bad in a bush. I was going to go back to the car and maybe piss by the car inside of a bag or something. But I was at the point where I was literally gonna let it go. So I had to go into a fucking public bathroom. And the door of the public bathroom was left open, so everybody can see you in there.
So wait, did you use the sink, urinal, or the toilet?
I used the stall.
Okay.
I went in there. Of course, as soon as you go in there, there's puddles of wetness all over the place. And I went into the stall. The door was open. I stand up. I pull my pants down, and I take my ding-a-ling out, and I start to squirt. And I stood back a distance because I didn't want to get any backsplash from the when the urine hits the bowl water. Sometimes you get a little splash that comes up. Are you familiar with that?
No, completely. I've urinated before in my 28 years.
Okay. So I stood back a distance. I almost stood back so far that I was actually out of the stall. I was in the fucking hallway taking a squat.
So you were standing outside.
I was literally
getting good distance.
I was out of the stall taking a squirt. I was letting my stream do the work for it because it was so powerful. It was such a forceful piss that it did it by itself.
So the aim was being taken care of.
I noticed that when
I
was out, and what happened was I was standing outside a little bit, and I could see people seeing me. They didn't see my ding dong.
Let me ask you something. Were you completely out, like Best in Show Chris at a urinal, just like 10 feet away, or were you level with the door, where the door would be?
I was maybe a few inches past the door. I wasn't obviously, you know, you could. I was a little bit out of the doorway, not tremendously, but a little bit out of the doorway because I wanted to get as far away to the bowl as humanly possible. So, and I took a squirt, and it was a very strong. Pungent Starbucks squirt.
Yeah, it'll do it to you. It will.
Now, as you know, I didn't want, and I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm a hypocrite. I'm a hypocrite. Okay?
You absolutely are.
I did what everybody else. What I did in that bathroom, what I condemn everybody else for doing.
True, you did.
Okay, I took a squirt. And I didn't want – and you know when you're taking a squirt in that stream?
Can you stop saying take? I mean, do you understand what that means? It's like you're bagging it up, putting it in your pocket, and walking out. You gave one. You dropped some piss. You peed. You fucking pissed. Who says squirt? We're getting tons of feedback from people who are alarmed that a 40-year-old man is taking a squirt.
Anyway, so
let me ask you something about peeing, Frank. You said you had a decent amount of pressure on that stream.
Yes,
that's what afforded you the distance.
Exactly.
Did you ever fucking let one go? Like you fart while you piss, and all of a sudden you get like 3 feet more in distance. Whoa! Now all of a sudden the dispenser of the paper ass sheets that you put on the rim is all wet. Not that I wasn't aiming at it to begin with, but I mean, you do fucking let out some gas and it clenches something up where, you know, it's like pinching a hose.
All right, let me finish this story. So I'm taking my squirt and I'm starting off strong. It's a strong stream, but you know, you get to the point where you realize it's coming to an end and you either have to start walking toward the toilet.
You have to correct the distance, otherwise it's going to go on the floor, but it's not your house, so who cares?
I didn't correct the distance. I let it go on the floor.
That's fine. I mean, there's already puddles there, right? Here's the only time I'll ever feel guilty about pissing on the floor or on anything else in a public stall is if I just can tell that it's been cleaned. Like, if I smell mountain pine fresh and I don't see any wetness and everything's dry, I'll feel guilty about leaving my piss on the seat, on the little lip of the thing where somebody's balls might hit, or on the fucking paper protector thing for your ass, or on the toilet paper rolls. I'll do it, but I'll feel bad. That's the only thing.
Well, I have to be – I'm going to give them credit. The toilet itself was not that dirty. In other words, there was not already piss in the bowl.
Sure.
Okay, but I left my piss in the bowl because the last thing I'm going to fucking do is flush that goddamn toilet and touch it.
I mean, not even with your foot?
No, of course, no, I'm not going to do that either.
See, that's a little bit inconsiderate. I mean, at least you get a little stretch out of it.
It is inconsiderate, and I apologize, but I have OCD and ADD, and I have anxiety.
Yeah, all the excuses. But, I mean, the thing is, Frank, you got there, and any splashback that would have come back would have largely been water and your own piss. Now, somebody else's splashback, probably when they have to shit, if they're, you know, brave enough to do it in that stall, is going to be your piss, their piss, and some disgusting
water. I would assume that they
would
flush
first. You're
going
to get their piss. You're pissing in their asshole.
Right, but I would assume that they would go in there and see the yellowness and then flush before they utilize it. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out, my friend.
I don't know.
Okay.
So you overcame that. I'm assuming that you had to just make do and overlook certain things because it's a heavily populated zoo. It's in a major metropolitan area. There's going to be a lot of people. There's going to be pretty much no escape for you.
Okay.
Obviously, because it forced you into a public restroom.
Right. Now, what I have in situation is as follows. You have to wait in certain lines in order to get to these exhibits.
Yeah.
And I was in line, two different lines, two different son of a bitches had fucking bleeding wounds on their arms. Bleeding wound.
Uh-oh. Hold on, Frank. We lost you a second.
I said the guy.
Wait, you know, Frank, are you there?
Yes.
Yeah. Start. So people had bleeding wounds. That's where we lost you.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is, I was in line, two different lines, and the gentleman next to me both had open wounds on their arms.
Okay.
Okay. Literally dripping blood on their arms. Ugh. And I said to God, I says, God, for what reason would you let me stand next to people who had dripping wounds on their arms? Why me, of all people, would you do this to me? Why?
And it's because you just pissed all over the toilet and you left a bowl of piss for somebody.
So what I did was so you had a choice of going into two. Once you stood in line, you can go to two different lines.
Yeah.
And I chose to go in a line that was three times as long just so I wouldn't have to stand next to a guy who had a bloody arm.
Oh, so you chose the longer line just to avoid
it. I chose the longer line, yes.
Well, now, what's really going to happen, Frank? What are you going to get? I mean, what's going to go wrong for you that
let me ask
bloody
you that
Band-Aid
question.
In your line is going to fucking tell you you need to wait a shower?
Well, let me ask – for somebody who does not have any phobias such as yourself,
yeah.
If you were standing next to somebody and the guy was bleeding and your bare arm rubbed against his bloody arm, would that would not bother you whatsoever?
It would bother me, sure. It absolutely would, but I'm going to be conscious of it, and I'm going to make sure he doesn't come near me. That's how you do it. You don't go and remove yourself. I mean, obviously, let me just say now. You say bloody wound as if somebody who just fought in the Revolutionary War and got hit with a cannon.
Listen, the guy had a Band-Aid on, all right?
Yeah, exactly. He had a fucking Band-Aid on. It's covered. But stop being a fucking child.
You could see the. You know when you put a Band-Aid on, as soon as you get a cut, you put a Band-Aid on, and you can see the blood, like, at the pad part. You can see the blood.
Like, you see it around. Like, you start to see a rectangle of outline of blood, yeah.
Right. They had that.
So, it was at the point of saturation.
Yes.
All right.
All right, so then I got in this longer line.
Sure.
And I'm standing in this line. The other line's moving fairly quickly. And
what was the line for?
The line was for the get into the monorail.
So this is just to get into a monorail. It's not a ride or anything. Just to get somewhere else.
Right.
And you went in the transportation is the least fun.
Well, it's a monorail that takes you around the park.
Okay. And that's the least fun thing to do, probably, correct?
It wasn't that bad.
All right, fine. So,
I stood in line, and the line is taking three. People who came in like a half hour after me on the other line had already gone to the monorail and went back home, and I'm still waiting in line. And I realized it was because there was a handicapped individual, who had trouble getting this individual's a wheelchair on the monorail. It was the wheel. I don't know, something got stuck or whatever. And whatever the situation was, that was the holdup. And I found myself getting angry at this person in the wheelchair for having the nerve to hold up this line.
Really? So you were mad at the wheelchair person?
I was mad at the wheelchair person. Does that make me a bad person?
Is that something you'd like to know?
Yes.
Hold on.
I won't know what you're thinking. There are some things you can't hide. I want to know what you're feeling.
It's no secret.
Alright, this is the part of the show where Frank exhibits a lack of decision-making skills, an inability to decide, to determine if he's being a complete douche, which he probably is. So Frank, what is it that you'd like to know? Please restate the question.
Is it wrong to be angry at a disabled or handicapped person for causing you to be delayed in a particular situation?
I don't think it's wrong to be angry. I don't think it's wrong to even yell out and maybe say, come on! Something like that. I don't think that's wrong. It's wrong to do something about it. To rush in there and forcibly help somebody, just to jerk them into position or shake them there, to physically move this person, touch this person, that's wrong. Yell and scream and hoot and holler all you want. I don't think that's wrong. Just leave your hands off the cripple. That's what I say, Frank.
Thank you.
And I honestly, you know what? I don't think you're all that bad of a person to be angry at being inconvenienced. You know, it's not that big of a deal.
Thank you.
I mean, being handicapped at a park really isn't the worst thing in the world. I mean, they're getting choice seating on the monorail, of all things.
Excuse me?
They're getting choice seating. They fold
what
up.
What do you mean by choice seating?
They get wheeled in. They have to have a special fastener. So usually they fold up a bench seat and they fasten them into place with some kind of a buckle or something like that. So they end up taking like two or three seats. They're right in the front by the door.
Are you saying that they're having an advantage?
I guess in a roundabout way, I am. By being handicapped, they have a little bit of an advantage.
It's almost like you want to be handicapped.
I think you already are. But in a sense, they are living the sweet life, save for the fact that they can't move without large metal contraptions with fucking wheels and motors and every other thing. Yeah, they get the good parking spot. Yeah, they get to go to the front of the line at Disney World. Have you heard of that
one? How would you know about that?
Well, we went to Disney World with my grandmother, who's in a wheelchair. She's, 90 plus at this point. Back then, she was 85. And we had her in a wheelchair. Automatically, if you're in a wheelchair at Disney World, you go right to the front. We were taking my niece there, and it was a bit of a family trip. We had her with us. Every ride we had her with us, right to the front, immediately. No questions asked. Your now, group goes to the front.
Let me ask you this. Were you enjoying this fact?
Oh, my God, yes. The lines were an hour and a half for some shitty ride
that
I didn't really want to go on. Yeah, I totally
So you were using your grandmother's incapacity for your own advantage to go on the fucking...
Sure.
It's a small world after all. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely. We skipped that line completely. Went right to the front. And you know how long that line could be, Frank. How mesmerizing that song can be. We got right on there. And it was a shitty ride. It was terrible. And that was that. But we didn't have to wait an hour and a half, 2 hours. And I don't think it's any worse than somebody who offers to drive a handicapped person to the store so they can get to park right in the front. Or somebody who maybe borrows the placard and hangs it in the rear view. I don't think that's wrong. It's just part of the deal.
You know what? Let me get back to the situation. So you were bucking the system. What the fuck is going?
Maybe what, Frank? If you went to Disney World right now and spoke like that, they would put you in a wheelchair and put you right on fucking Space Mountain instantly.
No, but I'm
choose
saying,
your words,
you
motherfucker.
Took advantage. You unlawfully took advantage of the system for your own personal gratification.
First
That's
of all,
what I'm saying.
Unlawfully is not necessarily the best word to use, since you don't get arrested for fucking cutting in line on the fucking Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. Okay? Yeah, my grandmother was there. Yeah, it was a bit of an advantage for us. Unfair advantage.
Was she coherent? She knew what was going on?
Of course. Absolutely.
She knew that she was being brought to the... Did she have any point say to you, "Hey, Kenny, this is pretty cool, isn't it?"
No. My grandma's not a douchebag to talk like that. "This is pretty cool, huh?" We don't revel in fucking getting over. We're appreciative, and then we enjoy what we've gotten over. We don't just sit and bask in the glow of saying, "Oh my God, we've taken advantage of something. How fantastic." The whole point of taking advantage of anything is to enjoy what you've taken advantage of to get.
My point is as follows. I'm very surprised there are not more people out there who were not wheelchair bound who will put themselves in a wheelchair just for the sake of getting online quicker. I'm surprised it's not being done more frequently.
I guarantee it is. I think it is. I mean, they're renting wheelchairs to people. And honestly, I've seen a lot of people that can walk, basically.
End it! Enough with the wheelchair rentals. If you're not already paralyzed going there, all of a sudden you get paralyzed when you go there?
You'll see a lot of overweight people with the turkey legs and the large Mickey beverages.
You're tell me that there are wheelchair rentals there.
Yeah, right at the park entrance.
Why the fuck are there wheelchair rentals there?
It's a lot of walking, first of all. Granted,
then don't go! If you're already incapacitated, you already have a wheelchair!
Not necessarily, Frank. Not necessarily. Maybe you have a walker. Do you ever think of that? Did you ever
Somebody
think of
who has
the walker
should not be going to Disney World?
Why? Why shouldn't they go to Disney World, Frank? Explain that to me.
My point is as follows.
Somebody who's afraid of germs shouldn't go to the zoo. How about that?
No, that's what I'm saying.
You shouldn't be allowed to go to the zoo.
If you have a walker and you can handle the walking, so be it. But if you have to go there to rely on a wheelchair, then maybe you ought to stay home.
The thing is, Frank, they need the wheelchair because it's like you're walking 5 miles, basically. You're walking
a mile.
Why don't you get one?
I'm tired too.
Get one. Who cares? Pay the rental fee and get one.
So do you have to be disabled to rent these wheelchairs?
No, you don't.
So you could rent these wheelchairs and then automatically go to the head of the line. Is that what you're saying?
I think you have to be a little bit dishonest.
It's a fucking ruse.
It is a fucking ruse. I don't appreciate you adapting my "it's a fucking snooze" into "it's a fucking ruse."
Whatever.
As a side note, I don't appreciate that. But yeah, maybe it's a little bit of a racket. Don't fucking act like you wouldn't fucking consider this. Because I guarantee if you could get an advantage by renting or paying money to get a wheelchair, you would do it. I know you would. You love getting over on people. You fucking had landscapers think that they killed your dog so you can get a year of free lawn cuts. You had a year of free lawn service because your precious show dogs were allegedly killed because the landscaper let the fence open.
First of all, it's to the end of the season, number one. And second of all, we never said that they were killed. We just said that they're lost. I just want to clarify that.
I see. I don't know, Frank. So you had a good time at the zoo?
I had a good time with my family. I liked the gorillas. I was disappointed with everything else.
Yeah. You got around okay otherwise, though? I mean, going from exhibit to exhibit, no problem?
The problem with listen, you know I have a – you're aware I have a certain technique for opening doors. Is that correct? Are you aware of the technique I have?
Yeah, I witnessed it firsthand in the Chipotle video, which you can see on frankandbarb.com. You use the foot, as you call it.
Yes.
You'll wait and wait and wait until someone comes there and opens the door you want to pass through.
And then I will wedge my foot.
Catch it with the foot and walk through so that you don't have to use your hands.
Right. The doors at this fucking have you ever been inside supermarket, like a freezer or a meat freezer or some type of – all right. They have these vertical plastic strips that are in freezers that instead of having a
– Yeah, it's a cold curtain.
Is that what it's called?
I think it's called the cold curtain.
Okay.
Something like that.
Well – all the openings at this fucking zoo were these cold curtains. They were vertical plastic strips.
Sure.
Okay.
Those were the entrances?
Yes.
Was it a hot day out, Frank?
Of course. And you could actually see the sweat on the fucking vertical strips.
Oh,
and
God.
In this situation, my plan of wedging my foot will not work. I am defeated. I am defeated by this door because you walk in, these strips are rubbing all over your fucking face and your shoulders and your body and your chest and your arms.
Oh, God damn it. The only thing, way I could imagine you going through is just following someone really closely so that you could, like, draft them almost as you're going through.
Doing that. It didn't work. I tried holding the strips. But then if you hold the strips on the outside, the ones on the inside will flow in on you. Listen, I had to accept defeat. I accepted defeat
man.
In the situation. I was draped with people's sweat all over my hair.
These people wearing fucking Knicks jerseys and tank tops with the sweaty, hairy arms just passing through all over the fucking plastic curtain. Oh, it had to be just a smeared mess.
It was awful.
Probably like a fucking... long Stridex pad. It looked like just greasy and fucking dirty.
And people, I saw people going through these things who had like these fucking raised rashes on their arms and sores and open wounds.
Ugh.
And it was just that was not a good
thing. You were just observing all the disgusting things. You basically just surrendered. And what did you do? Just decide you're going to scrub yourself down with a nuclear shower or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. And then we saw that, you know, I always have the, you know, my pet peeve is when you see people at bookstores or whatever or libraries where they start reading their book and they take their fucking shoes off and go relaxed and cozy.
When they make a public place like their own home.
Yes.
They take their shoes off. They sit with a latte and read a book or whatever.
There was an elderly couple who took their – they were wearing flip-flops with socks.
Oh, the worst.
Okay. So they took their disgusting flip-flops off and they were sitting on this fucking bench with their sock feet for all to see with the dirty mixture of sweat and darkness on the sock.
How close of a look did you get at the feet?
I was probably about maybe 3 feet from them because I took a picture directly of them. And in order for me to not let them think I was taking a picture, I pretended like I was looking at the pictures that I had already taken. You can understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand. Like anytime we see a weird person or something you want to take a picture of, what I do is I tell either Amanda or my sister or somebody to stand like I'm going to take a picture of them with some kind of a background, but I never take a picture of them. I just basically angle it slightly so that it's just the weird person. But you were just holding it up and thumbing through pictures.
And they were oblivious. They were drinking their Snapple. And what was the worst is, like I said, they had sweat socks with flip-flops. And you know when I'm sure in your lifetime you've worn socks with flip-flops for whatever reason.
Honestly, never. But I do know people that have, and it's fucking disgusting. I know what you're about to say. That little fucking post that goes between the toe and the index toe? the first two toes. That fucking crease where you know it's just like if you wear flip-flops, you know it either just eats away at your skin, turns into a fucking a blister, but they're wearing socks, so now the sock is all shoved between their toe.
Right. So they're sitting on this bench with the socks still wedged and stuffed in between their two toes.
Yeah.
And that just was the worst.
Those are the most painful sandals to wear, or flip flops, or whatever. They're the absolute worst. And I see that FM Jeff of The What Show, which is thewhatshow.com, Friday nights, 9:30 to 12:30, right? Whatever, simple math, 3 hours. They're on every week. He's saying that he refuses to wear sandals that have the little post that goes between the toe. I'm with him on that. I need him to go over all five of my toes, just so that I don't burn that sensitive skin. Or have to wear socks. Wearing socks with sandals is the most disgusting thing to do. I mean, I've had Asian friends, and they always seem to do that for some reason. But, I mean, they've even gone so far as buying the sock that has the built-in crease. Have you ever seen that?
You mean the socks with the individual toes?
No. The sock specifically designed for sandals, where it's like a foot mitten. It's like the mitten for a fucking foot, just so they could be disgusting and wear socks with their goddamn flip-flops. Fucking...
I was not aware of that.
Just a mess. So you took a picture of it. What, are you going to frame it?
I don't know. Just look at it and laugh.
And laugh. And remember the day that you saw the disgusting couple making that... What was it? A bench?
Yes.
A park bench. Their own. Why don't we take a quick break here? It's the DJ New Style Show on Hear Us Talk. That's hearustalk.com. The thing you do with your ears. And the place... to be. You're making a lot of noise there, Frank.
I apologize.
Thank you.
The DJ New Style Show will be back after something.
I like your flow.
And now, DJ New Style discovers
Auto-Tune.
This one gonna sneak up on you. That's right, new style, 2009. Sneaking. Check it.
I'ma rape you in the face. You'll never see it coming, gone without a trace. No evidence, no nothing around. You'll never pin it on me anyhow. I'ma rape you, rape your face. If your underwear gonna get ripped as lace, I leave it on the place and I come back clean the scene. Cause you know I mean, I'm raping you right here on the scene. Let me tell you what I do. I get up behind you, wearing a mask. No, I don't have fingerprints. I got gloves on too. And that just ain't the end of it. I got shoes, I've got a cape, I've got a little dagger, and I'm grabbing your nape of your neck. Don't forget this grip, it's all you're ever gonna see, bitch. I'm gonna rape your face all over this place. No fucking traces of evidence or fingerprints, bitch. You need to get out. Throw you away like belly button lint in the garbage can. Spend the stint of worthless time always worrying about yours. Not mine, you're not mine.
When the weather starts to warm up, everyone wants to hit the gym to look good. But there's no need for all that. You can look good by sporting your favorite Hear Us Talk logos and designs all year round. Log on to hearustalk.spreadshirt.com and check out the latest apparel. Men and women can find everything from t-shirts and track jackets to hooded and zippered sweatshirts featuring all of your favorite Hear Us Talk designs. If not hitting the gym has left you too big or too small, we'll have a size to fit you. So check out hearustalk.spreadshirt.com and cover yourself with us.
The DJ New Style Show.
All right, Frank, why don't we do the first one tonight? I don't know what you have for us. I don't know what you have prepared. Quite frankly, I don't give a shit. Let's just do it.
All right, give me the okay signal.
There you go. My thumb is up. My thumb is up. Go.
Okay. This heavy metal band formed in 1970 in Birmingham, This heavy metal band formed in 1970 in Birmingham, England, and has since sold 37... Jesus fucking Christ. This heavy metal band formed in... This heavy metal band formed in Birmingham, I can't say Birmingham. This heavy metal band formed in Birmingham, England in 1970 and has since sold over 35 million albums worldwide. In 19... 1990, the band was involved in a civil action case because they were... Alright. This band formed in 1970 in Birmingham, England. And has since sold over 35 million records worldwide. In 1980, a case was brought against them due to the apparent suicide of two individuals who it is said that they were subliminal messages in their songs. However, this is not making any fucking sense. I'm stammering and stuttering like a buffoon. This is my last shot. If it doesn't work, fuck it. I don't care. I have to eat.
Just fucking go.
This heavy metal band was formed in 1970 in Birmingham, England, and has since sold over 35 million albums worldwide. A civil action was brought against them due to an alleged subliminal message that was in one of their songs that led to the suicide of two individuals. However, the cases were since dismissed. Do It was a subliminal message in Better By You, Better By Me. In 1998, the lead singer of this group revealed his homosexuality. In 2006, VH1 ranked this group... Fuck! This is my last one. Okay. Judas... Fuck! I said the name! Fuck. Okay. VH1 ranked this song the fifth on their 40 greatest metal songs. It's featured in PlayStation 2, Guitar Hero, Guitar Hero 2, Grand Theft Auto, Vice City. If you think I'll sit around while you chip away my brain, listen, I ain't fooling, and you'd better think again. Rock and roll is my religion, and Judas is my priest. With You've Got Another Thing Coming.
Welcome back to the DJ New Style Show. Exclusive Tuesday night programming on Hear Us Talk. That's hearustalk.com. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to catch us every Tuesday night from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on hearustalk.com. You can also download things that we've done on djnewstyleshow.com. Isn't that right, Frank?
That is correct. That's what I heard.
Yeah, I heard that too. I've actually just said it. So I heard it actually as it was happening. I was probably the first person to hear that said. Isn't that amazing? So, what's going on?
Hey.
Let's just keep moving right along here, Frank.
DJ.
Yes. Are you really, you're going to sing that?
I can.
I don't know. I don't really know. Have you been watching reality TV, Frank? I mean, I try to keep up on things. I tried to watch the Daisy of Love thing. It didn't work out for me. I watched one episode. Maybe we could get Barb, if she's listening, to call in and keep us up to date. I don't know if she wants to do that or not. But really, the thing with this reality TV is, who gives a fuck? Who gives a shit about these fucking people? The housewives of insert city or region here.
Are you telling me?
The Little People, Big World. And the worst of them all, Frank. John and Kate Plus 8. Are you familiar with the John and Kate Plus 8?
I know what it is. My wife watches the show. but I am too embarrassed to admit that I would even watch something like that.
Yeah, I can't even begin to tell you how much I fucking loathe a conversation about this fucking Slope getting yelled at by his wife. No offense, I don't want to be racist or anything like that, but it's just fucking irritating. I don't give a shit. You have kids, you don't like your wife doesn't like you. Who gives a fuck? Who gives a shit? I want to watch these people shop. That's what I'm going to fucking TiVo, put on my DVR, and fucking dedicate time of my life to. Hopefully, Barb, who is on the phone right now. Barb, are you there?
Yes. I watched John and Kate Buffy.
Why? Can you shed a little light on this fucking story? What? Who gives a shit about John, Kate, or the eight?
I was the same way. And I started hearing about how much of a bitch she was to him. And I watch it purely just to watch this woman berate her husband who just wants out and did not want fucking eight children. I think that's why I watch it.
Do you think he was justified for what he did to her?
Well, now, why don't you clear up? What did he do exactly?
He was not, he cheated on her.
So he cheated on his wife from what I've heard, yells at him in grocery stores because he's not fucking getting the right milk or something.
See,
like
I wasn't aware that she was so mean to him. So now I'm saying to myself, well, maybe, you know, what he did wasn't so bad. I don't know. What's your take on it, Barb?
Well, he's claiming he did not cheat on her. However, in recent episodes, I think the last episode, he said he wasn't cheating on her. However, they did hint that maybe they're going to split up. They were both saying, oh, I'm all about the kids here. I'm all about the kids, all about the kids. And that's obviously saying, well, I fucking hate this person, but I'm with them for the kids.
I would watch the spinoff John minus Kate and Eight. Just I would just watch John as he goes and writes checks to the wife he never should have married.
At first he seems like a dork because he's like, I think he's Asian, half Asian.
Yeah.
At first he's a dork, but he says some funny. He shouldn't be with her. He says some funny stuff. Really, he's not that bad.
So let me guess. You watch this show and you feel for the Slope guy, the yellow man.
Yes.
Why?
Yes,
I what does it matter? People are in fucking bad relationships all the time. I don't understand why this has to be TV. I don't know. I was with my family. I hear my sister, my mother, gotta go home. John and Kate plus eight are on. John and Kate plus eight. I'm not going to miss a minute of this average everyday life of people who have kids and problems. What the fuck? Go to a fucking church. Go to a ShopRite. Go anywhere. Look at people. They're fucking alive. They exist. It's fucking real. It's not any scripted shit. Just go sit in a fucking park and watch somebody yell at their fucking kids. That's the type of shit you can't get on a scripted, produced fucking reality show. It's the worst.
The world is a stage.
I can't fucking tell you how much I hate this show. And people love it. Now, okay, Little People, Big World, I understand. There's a freak show aspect to it. You can't go somewhere and just see a family of midgets, halfway build a fucking playground and then just decide, now they're right. Going to build a fucking a pumpkin farm. You can't see that anywhere. But fucking John at Kate Plus 8 is just an abomination.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And what I was going to get to is another thing that I'm getting tired of are the fucking dating shows. I mean, I know that we all love Daisy from Daisy of Love and think she's the greatest thing ever and the best catch so that, 20 random dudes have pledged their love to her. But it's getting a little tiresome to the point where I haven't fucking caught up with it. And I think we need Barb to give us a little rundown as to what has gone on, what has been exciting on Daisy of Love.
I'm sorry to tell you that Cable Guy is gone, DJ Newstyle. I'm so sorry. Toolbox is also gone.
What?
They were both kicked out.
Oh,
you know, Daisy wasn't into them.
I can't believe it.
Ken, I want to interrupt you. I'm a little disappointed in you, Ken, for your lack of buildup of what's without a doubt the best reality television show on the air today. And that is Daisy of Love. How dare you build this? How dare you introduce this show with such a lack of enthusiasm?
Really?
It deserves much more than that. Okay. I'm very disappointed in your very nonchalant attitude regarding this show. Okay. I just want to go on record.
Frank, I'm so glad you share my excitement.
Let me tell you a little bit about Daisy of Love. Daisy of Love is having a little bit of a problem because I think, Barb, correct me if I'm wrong, but three or four gentlemen left on their own without even being kicked off by Daisy.
That's right. Brooklyn left the show because he thinks he's still in love with his girlfriend. London left because he didn't like that he had to compete for her loves. And Cage left.
Wait, London was Stevie Larper, right? Later. Stevie Larper's off the show now? The guy that I thought looked like Stevie Larper was London, I believe.
Well, London left. London, listen, he's the guy who wears the eyeliner. He left. I guess he didn't want to be treated as a number. And in addition, right. Mike, also known as Flipper, left as well. I guess he had some words. But I want to say representing the majority of men on Daisy of Love are from what's the best state in the world, the Garden State. Three men are from the Garden State.
Wow.
Weasel is from beautiful Bayville, New Jersey. We have Dave 12-pack. Which
oh,
is from White,
yeah,
White
no,
Gulf,
Daisy, no, I'm really into you. I know that I've been going around, you know, shirtless and in my man panties, you know, dancing on stages and clubs in Clifton with Heat, but, you know, I'm really into you. No.
Ray Liotta isn't on the show.
No, shut up. This is 12-pack. I sound exactly like Ray Liotta. But the thing is, I know that my career is extinguishing rapidly, Daisy, so I'm going to date you for fake on TV.
Well, according to his profile, he is actually a financial analyst, 12-pack, so just FYI.
Oh, he is. He is. That's right. He bills himself as a financial analyst, model, yes, fitness trainer, actor, fucking comp sci professor. Like, every fucking job, he lists himself as all of these things.
And he hails from Wyckoff, New Jersey. And finally, the third person from New Jersey was Flipper. He was from Clarksburg, New Jersey. So you have three people representing New Jersey on the Daisy of Love.
But two of them are gone now.
That is correct.
So maybe it's that these people that that wanted to be famous just saw that she wasn't that hot. Did you ever think of that?
Exactly.
Well, you could, you know which ones are definitely in love with. Like, Chi-Chi is in love with this woman, right, Barb? No, without a doubt.
Wait,
you're talking about Chi-Chi, who is BFF with Sinister in real life.
I can't even place it. The only person I could place as Chi-Chi was the effeminate Mexican-looking guy. Who was it? Was that Chi-Chi or?
Yeah, he was a little runt.
His name is Brandon in real life, and he is best friends with Sinister, whose real name is Derek.
Do you realize Frank? Do you realize that you're basically a few years removed from being a Teen Beat subscriber?
Oh,
like,
my God.
How is it you know all these people by name? You know every little nuance of their character, their emotions. You're into this. You love the show.
I enjoy the show. I'm not going to deny it.
I'm not going to deny it.
As Daisy would say, I love them. I just want
Sinister was a lead singer for a band.
Who?
You can YouTube it, actually. Makeshift Romeo. You'd like to see Sinister with short hair. Makeshift Romeo, if you could YouTube that.
Barb, do you find Sinister an attractive man?
No, he is a hideous human being.
I apologize.
Well, he was in a
band. Like Marilyn Manson.
Sure. So what's the deal? I mean, people are leaving; they're dropping like flies. What's gonna happen, Barb?
Well, Cage fought with Flex. He left because he could not promise that he would not retaliate in violence. So the only way that we could fix this on the next episode is to have Cage fighting.
Right.
There it is.
Look forward to that.
Exactly. But he already left. Cage is already gone, so he's not going to be part of the Cage fighting.
Can't
exactly,
do it.
Which is, to me, the worst.
That doesn't make sense.
I was looking forward to watching Cage fight in the Octagon.
All right.
And
so just a rundown. We got Chi-Chi, Six Gage. We got Fox, Daniel. We have 12-pack. We have Sinister. We have Big Rig.
Barb's pick to win. Still
yes.
in the game.
Yes.
And we have
Uh-oh. Frank will come back soon. I'm positive. Frank, you're cutting in and out there, boy.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you now.
Okay. I don't know how far you got, but my pick is obviously she's going to pick. It's going to be between 12-pack and Fox. I'm thinking she's going to pick most likely 12-pack.
Okay, now I remember Fox was the gay Spaniard that I was thinking that
well,
I envisioned.
He's not gay. And according to Fox's profile, he loves plastic fake slutty women.
really romantic. That's good. I mean, well, you're on the right show, so that's awesome.
Well, on a side note, Becky Buchwild and The Entertainer, their love is still going strong.
Really?
You remember them?
Oh, that's so
I
good
love
to hear.
One and two.
Because I was going to write them a card and ask if they were still getting along very well. So what's
Becky
going on?
Buchwild.
Are they getting a show?
You know what? After seeing this, I think that's going to be my prediction. I think they're both going to have a show together.
Oh, God.
I don't know what it will be.
There is nobody more irritating to me than Becky Buchwild. And I've watched, I love money. I've watched Flavor of Love,
yes.
Whatever the show happened to be. I've seen everything she's done. I cannot fucking say, yo, we going to get Buchwild today. And then a fucking, an awkward pose with her crooked face. It's disgusting. She's a fucking hideous woman. And Frank the Entertainer. Frank the Entertainer is out of his mind.
That woman called New York, was she actually one of the contestants from Flavor of Love?
Yes.
So now she's got, she's got like two or three spinoff shows from that, isn't that correct?
She's got a career from being someone that that wanted to suck Flavor Flav's cock on reality TV.
Probably one of the most revolting things I've ever seen is Flavor Flav tongue kissing a woman on his show. It's just vile, vile.
It looks like
really white women.
Yeah, it's fucking, it's just gross.
He must be a good looking dude.
Yeah, he really, really good looking. Put two fucking yellow lines down his back and you won't know, and you'll know you can't make left turns. He's the darkest skin I've ever seen on a person. And he's so old. Very old. I don't know. So Barb, you're still sticking with Big Rig to win Daisy of Love?
Still sticking with Big Rig, and I can't wait to see them all fight.
Really? Uh-oh, what's that noise? What's that noise? Uh-oh. Well, that means that this is the end of the Daisy of Love wrap-up. This is the shitty theme song.
Want a pluck?
Barb, thank you for keeping...
This is like Morning Wood. That's the name of the band. Morning
Wood,
get it?
That's true. Well, thank you for calling in, Barb. I appreciate it. Keeping us up to date.
No problem.
You're the person that makes sure that we don't have to watch Daisy of Love. Thank you very much.
Exactly. Thank you.
You're always talking the talk. Yeah. Just fucking terrible. You know what? Let's just turn that off right now, Frank. I don't know. Man, it's a terrible show, and I can't bring myself to fucking watch it. You still there, Frank?
I'm here.
Yeah. Why don't we do one more thing, and then we can clean up the end of the show.
Are you referring to...
Well, I don't know. We do have a caller here. You're on the DJ Newstyle show with Germ Freak. Who might this be? You might have to call back, buddy. We have an issue with him, but we're gonna continue on, Frank, with what you hadn't planned. You'd pick something out.
Yes. So, I don't know. I'm lost here. Are you waiting? We have our dilemmas.
Yes, we do.
Now it's time for Germ Freak's dilemmas.
Yes. That's right. It's Germ Freak's dilemmas. Frank has decided that he can't choose. He can't make the decision, and he needs a little bit of help. Are you on the phone there, Mike?
Yes, I'm here, and I want to help.
Mike from Queens is joining us here for Germ Freak's Dilemmas. Frank, what is your first dilemma? We'll help you decide, me and Mike from Queens.
Okay. Gentlemen, would you rather be really bored for the rest of your life or be really busy for the rest of your life?
I'd rather be really busy for the rest of my life than really bored, because I don't think there's anything worse than that feeling of having nothing that could interest you. Mike, what do you think?
They're both pretty awful.
They really are. They really are.
Yeah. I think I'll go with being really bored personally.
Yeah, I mean, what are you not allowed to do when you're in this this clause of being really bored for the rest of your life, Frank?
Right.
That it's all about the rules, and that's kind of what makes it
To me, when I think of being bored, I just think of, you know, sitting in a chair, you know, just staring out the window,
just not having anything to do.
Anything to do?
Oh, then I would choose that in a heartbeat. To me, being bored is not having anything that can fulfill you. You have all this shit around you. You have the fucking games. You have the TV, and all of it does nothing for you.
Exactly.
So I've got my right hand. As long as I've got that, I've got something to do.
But apparently, you're going to be very bored. Nothing. There's nothing that can eliminate the boredom. So you can.
Well, then it's not much of a dilemma. Then they both suck.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Next
Frank,
up.
What's the next one?
Would you rather have a cool job with people you hate or have a sucky job with people you like?
This is an interesting one. Mike from Queens, why don't you take this one first?
I'm going to go for the cool job with people I hate.
Yeah, me too. I can isolate myself. I don't need to talk to you. I don't need to put pictures up and have you gawk at them. I don't need to have a desk with personalized, stuff and personal effects and all these other things. I can just do my work and go home.
And your desk now, isn't that correct?
That's right. At a moment's notice, I can pick up and leave.
Is it effeminate for a man to have personal effects at his desk, you think?
I don't think so.
Is he gay?
I think that if that's the wrong bit, but I think that if you have children or a wife or, you know, a girlfriend, it's okay to have a picture of them. However, if you start bringing in your fucking your Beanie Baby collection from 1998 because you have no other place to put these worthless fucking sacks of shit, then that might be a little bit gay. What do you think, Mike? Is that can you be gay by decorating your desk?
Pretty much. Like treasure trolls on top of the monitor or something. That's definitely fruity.
Yeah, in your favorite team uniform. A troll wearing a fucking Mets outfit.
Yeah.
With
he's
a bobblehead.
It's masculine. Leave him alone.
Yeah, dude. He's just, he's helping out. He's the bad boy with his crazy wild fro. What's the next one, Frank? Oh, Jesus Christ. Hold on, Frank. Hold on, Mike. Mm-hmm. Are you there, Frank?
Sure.
We missed that.
Yes, I'm here.
You got to start over on that one.
Okay. Would you rather stick your finger in a light socket or stick your finger in a pencil sharpener while it's on?
I'm going to probably die if I put it in the light socket.
Yeah.
I'll probably get electrocuted and die. Whereas I could lose a finger and still have nine. So I'm thinking I'm gonna keep... my life and lose the finger.
I was thinking the opposite. I thought that if you put your finger in a light socket, you'll get a quick shock, but that'll be it. You'll be done with it. Whereas a pencil sharpener can deform you for life.
Well, you might. There's a good chance that you'll die.
I see.
We're doing Germ Freak's dilemmas. He's really torn between two things that he's thought about long and hard, and he needs me and Mike from Queens to help him choose. Frank, what's the next dilemma?
Would you rather wipe your ass with coarse sandpaper after each bowel movement for 1 week, or not wipe your ass at all after each bowel movement for 1 week?
Oh, God.
Mike, why don't you take this one?
Those are really fucked up. I think I prefer the pain to the itch. I think I'd have to go with the sandpaper. Rather than being dirty in the ass.
So you want to rip it all off, make sure there's no shit, risk getting cut.
I don't want to, but if those are my only two options,
yeah.
I'm going to have to go with the sandpaper.
I'm going to say as long as you don't have any rectal cuts, so if you're not engaging in any questionable lifestyle behaviors, you'll probably be okay to leave shit on your ass for a week. You're going to smell, it's going to be itchy, it's going to be uncomfortable. But you're not going to have a chafed, ripped-open asshole. I mean, Frank, honestly, you have one. It's not fun, right?
It's not fun at all. I suffer every day.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, I'd rather have a muddy, fucking dry riverbed of an ass than a torn-open one.
But as Mike said, and which I've always preached, I prefer a burning ass over an itchy ass.
That's true. You do.
Yeah, an itch is horrible. You can't settle down. At least if your ass hurts... You can get into some kind of comfortable position on your belly if you have to. You can make yourself comfortable, but an itch that doesn't go away has got to be torture.
That's true. Let's go to the next one here on Germ Freak's Dilemmas.
Okay. Would you rather live in poverty for the rest of your life or live in a maximum security prison for the rest of your life?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, how impoverished are we talking here?
We're talking about living on the streets, eating out of garbage cans, things of that nature.
But I'm free to do what I want as long as I...
Exactly. You're free to do whatever you want, but you're living on the streets, sleeping on in bus terminals, things of that nature. Or I mean, have 3 square meals a day at a maximum security prison and a roof over your head.
I mean, to me, being homeless and being in jail, you're pretty much going to face the same situations, except that, you know, being homeless, you can go other places. Being fucking in prison, you're going to get in the same fights, you know, you're going to get in the same arguments over possessions, same risks of getting killed, raped, whatever, and then you don't get to leave.
All right, you're protected by the elements, you get 3 squares a day, you have recreation all you want, paddle ball, racquetball, things of that nature, handball.
Sure, but the thing is, you're
is
never...
Is it Club Med? I think I'm going to go to prison right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're going to have a guy with a clipboard wake you up at 8 to tell you the day's activities. Today is limbo and sodomy, guys. Get up early. Let's get quick start to the day. Limbo and sodomy.
Arts and crafts, like license plate making.
Mike, you ever watch those shows, Lock Up, those prison shows ever?
I've seen a prison special, some maximum security prison in the South or something, and it was a nightmare.
Now, when you see those men, you say to yourself, I'm a fucking pussy. Those are fucking men.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You just feel like a pussy when you see those people. But, Mike, what's your take on this? Prison or homeless? Or, you know,
homeless in a heartbeat. I've already pretty much come to terms with the fact that I might be homeless anyway, so it's not all that scary to me. Prison is the most frightening thing in the world.
Oh, absolutely.
And the odds of getting into the fights in prison are worse. The odds of getting raped are far worse, which I think is pretty much the worst thing that can happen to me.
I mean, the probability that you're going to offend a gang while in a fucking jail fight is very high. Whereas, you know, you're homeless. What do they want? Your jacket?
What are they going to take? Exactly.
Yeah, really. I don't have anything. Take it. I don't give a shit. You're going to beat me up because it's fun to beat up a homeless guy? Go ahead and do it. I'm going to roll over and go to the next fucking part of town. That's what I say. We'll have one or two more.
We'll wrap this baby up.
Yeah, that's right. It's Germ Freak's Dilemmas on the DJ New Style Show with Mike from Queens, Germ Freak, and myself. What's the next one, Frank?
Would you rather starve to death or be eaten alive?
Wow. I'm going to send this one over to Mike from Queens. Starve to death or be eaten alive?
I guess eaten alive is quicker, even though it's in a horrific death. I'd have to go with eaten alive just because the pain isn't so drawn out.
You think? I mean, what if they decide to pick? What if you serve up
just
them
take a leg and save the rest for when the family gets home? I guess if they do it like that, they eat me a piece at a time, then I'll go with starving alive. But if someone just devours me, you know, take away my torso and head all at once and that's it, then I'll take eaten alive.
Now, here's why I'm saying no to being eaten alive. You're gonna be conscious when someone's eating your dick. That's the fucking. That's the miserable part of it. You can't do anything. You know you're gonna be eaten alive. Someone's gonna cut your dick off and eat it in front of you, and then keep as much of you alive as possible, and taunt you. They're gonna be like, a little stringy.
It's not a giant. It's not a giant chomping into me. It's like another person who's gradually devouring me.
Frank, I mean, I don't know. You didn't specify.
I was thinking more of like an animal, to be honest with you, like a tiger or a bear. Okay. Or something like that.
See, I was thinking it was a human. When you say get eaten alive, okay. I thought torture, human, cannibals. But you're saying an animal? Maybe that would be the quickest way. But again, I think I'm going back to the jail and homeless thing. I think it's kind of a parallel there. I have my freedom to do what I can for a limited amount of time with no one taking my life but, you know, my own consequence.
That's a good point.
You're goddamn right it is. It's Germ Freak's Dilemmas.
We got one more.
One more.
We'll
last
wrap
one
this puppy up.
On the DJ New Style Show, DJNewStyleShow.com. Frank, what do you have?
Okay. Would you rather know when you are going to die but not how, or know how but not when?
Wow. Man, that if you know how, you're going to completely alter everything you ever do. You're going to live in fear. Basically, you're going to become Germ Freak. You're going to live exactly how Frank lives, and I think that's a pretty goddamn miserable existence.
Excuse me?
You have to admit it, Frank. Being afraid of everything is not good. Not good. But knowing when, you can definitely budget your time. You can plan for that. I mean, like, if you know how, you're still going to save for retirement. But if you know when, and it's in 3 months, you're probably going to cancel the 401k. Mike from Queens, what do you think?
I completely agree. Actually, I'd actually want to know when I'm going to die, and I wouldn't care to know how I'm going to die.
Yeah, it wouldn't.
You can completely plan out your life that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know exactly when it's going to be over, so you basically create a life that's a build-up to a massive send-off of some kind. Mm-hmm. However, you don't know how, so you could probably die in such a way that it prevents your fucking huge plan from coming to fruition, so your life would be wasted anyway. But at least you had some kind of a plan that worked towards something other than just the unknown, like you have now. I mean, Frank, what would you choose in this case?
I would go with the flow and say I'd want to know when.
You would want to know when?
Yes.
Wow. Not how? You wouldn't want to know how?
No, because I you know, then I'd be worried my whole life, you know. What's
you already
be?
Are. You already are.
I know.
What's the
I
big
know.
Deal?
I know.
Well, okay, so you've made your decision, and that is
yes.
The end of Germ Freak's Dilemmas on the DJ New Style Show.
And that is the end.
Thank you very much, Mike from Queens, for being a part of it.
Thanks, Mike.
I appreciate it.
You guys let it.
See you,
thanks,
buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you for calling in and being a part. And that concludes another wonderful episode of the DJ New Style Show. Thank you for tuning in. Tune in every Tuesday night, 9 to 11 Eastern Time on HeroesTalk.com. Every Thursday night, Best in Show Radio, 8 to 11 p.m., BestinShowRadio.com. They're on Heroes Talk. And also on Heroes Talk Friday nights, we broadcast The What Show, 9:30 to 12:30. Go to thewhatshow.com. They're good friends of ours. Frank, do you have anything you want to say?
Yes, I do.
Well, continue.
Usually you play the music.
I am. Just fucking go with it.
But this is us! Yeah, no! Shut up! You're talking to a fucking sign! I'm gonna kick all your friends' ass! Outside? 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 Barney! Hey, Ken, is there anything that you would like to say?
Well, yes, there is! It's a fucking snooze! Shit, I can't even get out the damn window! Fuckface! Appreciate it, homie! Nah, I'm good. Thanks.
Go suck banana, fuck you.